The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of RIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi. He's going to talk about Palestinian resistance and the brutal attack of Israel on Gaza Strip.
On a global level, the world once again witnessed the tragedy, which is actually not as surprising as far as the situation in Palestine and Israel is concerned. Referring to Israel's inhuman decision of depriving the people of Gaza of, you know, electricity, food, water, and fuel. Even Grand Ayatollah Sistani, in his statement this week about this incident, he refers to that this is happening in full view of the whole world without any deterrent or prohibition. Rather, there are those who support these criminal acts and justify them under pretext of self-defense. U.S. and even our government says, you know, Israel has a right to defend itself, and so whatever they are doing, you know, it seems to be okay. And this is where, you know, we really have to ask the government to live up to our commitment of international human rights. One way you can do is by going to the website. We will be, you know, giving that on the screen later on, of the National Council of Canadian Muslims, as well as Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East. Both have prepared, you know, letters which can be sent to the government of Canada, you know, urging the government basically to recognize the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. ICC. Interestingly, the superpowers of the West are trying to prevent the jurisdiction and authority of ICC in Israel, because they are the one who actually deal with the issues of, you know, human rights violations and things like that. And they're saying, no, this court has no jurisdiction as far as what is happening in the state of Israel is concerned. And this is where we are also asking the government, our government, actually to push for that issue that ICC should be allowed to also have jurisdiction in the state of Israel. And, you know, on our part, ISIJ has pledged $50,000 as a humanitarian aid for the people of Gaza, which will go through the reputable international agency whenever it becomes possible.
The intelligent resist. There's a little bit of Islamic karma that happens. Those people who don't stand up to dhalimin, God unleashes the dhalim on the person. The Prophet says this, Man a'ana dhaliman. So the person who helps the dhalim, because Imam Ali said, the person who's silent, who won't speak up, who won't connect the dots, that person is helping the dhalim. They're not with the Imam. Whoever helps the dhalim, the Prophet says, Man a'ana dhaliman, sallatahu Allah alayh. God unleashes the dhalim on the person. If you remember the Battle of Uhud, do you remember in the Battle of Uhud when the Muslims could have resisted and then the Muslims thought, let's run for the hills and save our lives? And then they paid a price for doing that. They almost lost the Prophet of God. Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada was lost. At the time when they should have, they didn't. Another example. You remember the 4,000 or 5,000 people who stood up after Imam Hussein? When the Imam called them, they surrendered. They didn't stand with the Imam.
the Tawabin. 6 months later, they came to the defense of the cause of Imam Hussein. They were all slaughtered, right? They were all slaughtered. If Imam Hussein had 4,000 people, what would have happened? He had 72. I don't know how many of you guys saw the movie about Mukhtar. Do you guys remember it? In the end of the movie of Mukhtar, when they talk about his shahada, Mukhtar, I had to look this up in history because it was so unbelievable. Mukhtar is surrounded by Mus'ab ibn Zubayr. Mus'ab ibn Zubayr tells the people who are with Mukhtar, if you surrender, there's amnesty, right? If you surrender, there's amnesty. Mukhtar went out with a few followers. He fought, he became Shaheed. Don't you know they slaughtered 7,000 people like chickens? So this idea that it's smarter, no. The intelligent knows that there's a price for resistance, but the price for surrender is much worse. So the intelligent resist. God is saying with emphasis, definitely, truly, surely. He says, definitely Allah will assist. Man yansuruh. If you do your part, God will stand with you. He will help you. He will provide. You resist, God makes it easy. Then he continues, Inna Allah, truly Allah, la qawiyun. God is all powerful. He's qawi, he's powerful. Aziz, and God is invincible.
Let me go back to this issue, you know, of looking at the root cause of this conflict. There can be no peace when we see human rights and international law is only used for one group and ignored totally in case of others, especially if the other happens to be Muslims or an Arab. But we don't see in the media same kind of, you know, feeling of the sentiments of the family of, let's say, 1,260 Palestinians who are in the jail, not even knowing what is their crime. And they've been there for a long time. Nobody talks about them. You know, it's only talking about one side of the conflict, ignoring the plight, as if, you know, victimhood is only reserved for one group and not for others. Whenever it comes to zulm, Muslims are always zalim. When it comes to the issue of mazlumin, no. Muslims don't have a right to become mazlum. But even if they become Muslim, they are described as an ethnic group. Bosnians become victim, not Bosnian Muslims. But they are Muslims. You know, there is a politics even in using the words when it comes to who is a victim and who is not. You know, and I have been tempted basically to share with you a paragraph from a speech made by the former U.S. President Obama when he went to Jerusalem. You know, the whole speech is not relevant to us, you know, but there is one part, and I will hold the Western leaders for this. That these are only words, but if you're really true to your spirit of democracy and human rights and international law, look at the words which have come from one of your own leaders. Obama, in that speech, he talks about this issue and he says to the Israeli, addressing them, put yourselves in their shoes. Look at the world through their eyes. It is not fair that a Palestinian child cannot grow up in a state of their own, living their entire lives with the presence of a foreign army that controls the movements not just of those young people, but their parents, their grandparents, every single day. It's not just when settler violence against Palestinians goes unpunished. It is not right to prevent Palestinians from farming their lands or restricting a student's ability to move around the West Bank or displace Palestinian families from their homes. Neither occupation nor expansion is the answer. Just as Israelis built a state in their own homeland, Palestinians have a right to be a free people in their own land. These are not our words. This is the word of a former president of the United States of America. And this is where we would say that if you really want to have durable and lasting peace, look at the root cause and deal with it. Otherwise, the cycle of violence will continue. Once again, we pray for the hastening of the appearance of the Imam, Ajalallahu Ta'ala Farajah Sharif, in Sahar.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. I saw those rockets and bombs shining in the sky, like drops of rain in the sun's light, taking away everyone dear to my heart, destroying my dreams in a blink of an eye. What happened to our human rights? What happened to the sanctity of life? Still alive. Oh, yeah. I will caress with my bare hands every precious grain of sand, every stone, and every tree. So